Mark 13, verses 9 through 13. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now I'm sure that y'all have noticed all of the various attacks on politicians and members of opposing political parties that are going on out there. And they seem to have really upped in volume in the past few months, particularly leading up to these midterm elections. And the news reports numerous attacks by groups and individuals who hate the other party, whichever other party it may be, with a hell-burning loathing. And these attacks seem to happen all the time these days. Refusal of service by restaurant owners, belligerent verbal assaults by patrons of the restaurant as people go out and just try to get a bite to eat. False accusations in order to destroy reputations, destruction of property, attempts to kill them in various ways, including shooting, chemical warfare, that's what ricin is, and mail bombs. The nasty spewing of hatred and slander that we see both in the news and in social media, and the pointless and hate-filled marches, and the calls for violence by elected officials against their opposing party. And it's clear that the veneer of civilization on fallen humanity is wearing thin when we see these things. It's like the beast is breaking out and viciously attacking beyond all reason those who think differently and those who believe differently. But these haters are nothing new. Followers of Christ, when seeing these politicians attacked like this, we're like, welcome to my world. For the world has been hating Jesus since he came and has been attacking his disciples for almost a millennia now. And the reality is a major point of warning that Jesus gives to his disciples, this persecution, as he continues his discourse on the Mount of Olives in our passage today. For the world hates Jesus. The world hates Jesus. And that hatred fuels the persecution of his disciples. And nevertheless, through Jesus' warning that persecution would occur, we are forewarned. He warns his disciples. But not only does he give us a warning, he leaves us with hope. He encourages us with his promise of the Holy Spirit's help in times of trouble, salvation for the ones who make it to the end, eternal life. In our passage today, particularly in verses 9 through 12, the language that Jesus uses here is quite stark. It covers every aspect of society, the religious and the secular authorities, parents, and children. And Jesus is not referring to some imaginary place where people hate you and persecute you either. These are your neighbors, your family, your co-workers, and your government leaders, people you interact with every day. But it is important to understand that this persecution happens when you are an actual follower of Christ. And those who label themselves as Christian with no true faith, who do not follow Jesus, well, they will fall away at the first sign of persecution. You may remember from quite a few months ago when we were in Mark 4, the parable that Jesus gave, the parable of the sower sowing seeds, he gave that parable telling us about these people who would fall away. In verses 5 and 6 there, he says concerning one group of seeds that they fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. And Jesus later interprets this parable for his disciples in verses 16 and 17. He says, "And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the world, immediately they fall away." But if you are a true disciple of Christ, if you have denied yourself, if you've taken up your cross and followed Jesus in faith, Mark 8:34, then you are not one of these sad souls. And the true disciple lives a life that is radically different from the world, despite the world's opposition. For the world takes notice when we do, and it does not approve. The world hated Jesus, our Lord, and killed him. The world hates you if you follow him as his disciple. I know that's not a feel-good thing, but it's what Jesus tells us in clear words right here. So do not be surprised when the world persecutes you, when the world seeks to kill you. Jesus tells us very, very plainly. In our passage today, also John 15:18-20, which says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And the Apostle Paul, he further highlights this reality in 2 Timothy 3:12, saying, "All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." That's pretty straightforward. That's not leaving any doubts in there. That's very straightforward. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. In other words, if you're a disciple of Christ, living for Christ, if that is you, you will be persecuted. It's very clear in the Scriptures. Now, perhaps you're sitting out there and you're saying to yourself, "Well, I've never been persecuted. I've never been persecuted." And my answer to that is, ask yourself, why? Why have you not been persecuted somewhere along the way? And consider whether or not you're living the radical life of a disciple as Jesus calls us to live. Perhaps there you'll find your answer. I don't know. You've got to look in your heart prayerfully and ask that question of the Lord. Perhaps you just haven't been persecuted yet. Perhaps it's coming. And the concerns of the world, they are so immediate. And it's an easy temptation to get caught up at work, or get caught up at school and society in general, just going with the flow, living in a way that is completely harmonious with the world. Why mess with that? Why stand out in a way that brings derision upon you? Or it affects your work, perhaps keeping you from getting promoted, because you won't go along with what the world says is right when you know that it is wrong. Notice that in the starkness of Jesus' warning, there are promises to those who are persecuted for Christ's sake. These persecutions will provide opportunities for sharing the gospel. And not only will Christians be witnesses to their tormentors, but we also be a witness to all whom we come in contact with that see the persecution. Further, it is the Holy Spirit who gives our words power as we share the word of God in such situations. We are given a wisdom of response that is a spiritual manifestation of the Spirit's work in our hearts and in our minds. In His power, the power of God, we are enabled to resist those who would persecute us. We are enabled to respond to them in a manner that is pleasing to God. And because of the Holy Spirit's work in the midst of persecution, historically, the gospel spreads like wildfire. All sorts of people start coming to Christ when persecution is going on, and especially at its worst. And this is because the gospel has its own power over the forces of evil. Gospel witness in the face of persecution is infinitely powerful. It is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Romans 1:16. And Jesus also tells us in Matthew 5:12, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Persecution leads to great reward in heaven. The world brings its worst, but we who go through it, faithful to Christ, we get eternal rewards. The world does not win. It cannot win. Jesus wins. He says, "I have overcome the world." Jesus wins. And so His people win. So, we say to the world, bring it! Bring it! And thank you. Can I have another? Thus, we have a formula when facing persecution. Be on guard, knowing that it's coming. Trust in God to see you through and to give you the words that you need to be a witness of the gospel. And rejoice in your persecution. Teenagers, and I look over this way because most of y'all are there. And some of y'all back there, I haven't forgot y'all either. Teenagers, in college, if you don't go to an overtly Christian college, if you go to college, you may hear your professors deride Christianity as they may seek to cause you to doubt your faith and turn away from Christ. And they may deride Christians as being deluded and believing a bunch of nonsense. They may say Christianity is for the weak-minded. And they may even ridicule you openly for your faith. Now, one particular problem you'll face is that of being indoctrinated into politically correct thinking. And Jay Budziszewski, with Focus on the Family, he addresses this thinking, saying this indoctrination includes relativistic doctrines such as tolerance and diversity, which mean in practice tolerance of anything but biblical faith and traditional morality. For example, official indoctrinators consider it religious discrimination to hold that the Bible's teaching about God are true. They consider that religious discrimination. An effectual discrimination to hold that homosexual acts are morally wrong or even unhealthy. And he goes on to say, methods of indoctrination are likely to include not only required courses, but also freshman orientation, speech codes, mandatory diversity training, dormitory policies, guidelines for registered student organizations, and mental health counseling. Watching my daughter at school, it proves what he is saying is happening. But the report from my daughter confirms that indoctrination attempts are going on there in classes that she's attended there at her university, and is even currently attending. And from what she says, there's a political agenda combined with a worldview that does not align with the Christian worldview. And it's being pressed upon the students in some, not all, but some of her classes. And these lies are infiltrating their way into the students around her. She talks about how they're being influenced, the wrong direction. So her friends, people she knows, they're being influences. And they fall. They fall to these pressures. And these pressures then bring, as their friends succumb, more pressure on the Christians to conform. But as the saying goes, forewarned is forearmed. And Emily has heard this. We've talked about it. You know, and she's recognizing these things, what they are, for what they are. And she's resisting. It's a daily battle for her. Thank the Lord, she is not alone in this. She has Christian friends. She's made Christian friends, and she keeps close to them. And they go against this together. They resist together. And they are having some prime opportunities. Opportunities to live out their faith. To stand for their beliefs and share their beliefs. And in the midst of it, the indoctrination, ironically, well, it brings these brings with it opportunities to share the gospel. The gospel comes to the fore. It becomes something that's talked about. Whereas if this opposition was not going on, perhaps it would not be so. And students in college, well, they're not the only ones who are facing such things. This occurs in workplaces across America. You also get this godless trash of the media day in and day out. I don't know about y'all, but I watch the news and I just shake my head these days. Perhaps that's something y'all are experiencing too. It's very subtle. All of this is very subtle. It's brainwashing, really. And it's very clever. It's pervasive throughout society. It is evil. And it is a form of persecution. Well, how so? Well, Webster's defines the term persecute as to harass or punish in a manner designed to injure, grieve, or afflict, specifically to cause to suffer because of belief. And to go against the world's politically correct agenda is to invite harassment and other negatives, such as being labeled a problem that must be dealt with, and then being dealt with, such as clearly persecution in a subtle and deadly form. And as things are, it is so much easier just to give in, to go with the flow, not to rock the boat, just to keep your mouth shut. Yet true Christians follow Christ, refusing to give in and living the radical life of a disciple of Christ. And because of this, the world reacts strongly against us, and it hates us, a hatred that it manifests itself in so many ways. Now in the U.S., we don't have to face flogging or imprisonment or death for being a Christian, at this point in time at least. In other places in the world, this is what Christians face every day. Is somebody going to come and drag them off, imprison them, or kill them because they live for Jesus Christ? That is a lot of Christians in this world's plight. And for us, we're not there. Lord willing, we'll never get there in this country. Go out and vote. Seriously. Go out and vote. Remember Jesus' warning. And if you are a follower of Christ, you will be persecuted. So be on your guard and do not be surprised when it's like, gosh, man, that person's being mean to me because I'm a Christian or whatever. Don't go, why is that happening? Jesus said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So don't be surprised. We must be on guard against those who hate Christ. So now take a look at verse 13. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. To be hated by all. And we don't like that, do we? We don't like that idea of being hated. We generally want people to like us. That's why the like thing in Facebook is so big. And people put a post and go back, how many likes have I got? That's important to us, to be liked. We just want everybody to get along. Why can't everybody get along? Yeah, we're all different. We can get along. But Jesus doesn't give us that option. If you're a follower of Christ, you will be hated because the world first hated him. That's just the way it is. And it's hard. And why do you think in Luke 14 that Jesus told those who would follow him to count the cost before they did? Count the cost, he said. Because it's hard to follow Jesus. A lot comes with it. But we don't endure the world's hatred in vain. Jesus balances this warning, saying this is coming. He balances it with a promise. He says, the one who endures to the end will be saved. That is a promise from the Lord's very mouth himself. And this is why we must go and be on our guard. We need to be on our guard. We need to be ready to endure. For if we resolutely endure to the end, we will be saved. So what is this being on guard? What is this enduring to the end? What does it look like? Well, being caught unawares, we are less likely to comprehend why what is happening is happening, even to recognize it for what it is, or to know what to do. It's like I mentioned before, being forewarned is forearmed. And as Christians, disciples of Christ, we've denied ourselves, we've taken up our cross, we follow Jesus, we trust in the Lord. Hence, we are enabled to accomplish. Get this, we are enabled to accomplish what really are God-sized tasks. God-sized tasks, not my term, got that from someone else. But in the power of God, we can accomplish these God-sized tasks. And enduring persecution without succumbing to temptation is definitely a God-sized task. I mean, we can't do it in our own strength. If you try to do it in your own strength, it ain't going to work. We have to do it in the power of God. The Spirit of God fills us, empowers us to withstand temptations that are inherent in persecution. And in His power, we stand strong. And this is spiritual warfare. Y'all know we're at war, right? Spiritual warfare? It's very real. Very real. And in that war, Ephesians 6 describes us as strapped up in our battle armor with a sword of truth, which is the Word of God in our hand, while down on our knees in prayer. And it is then, there, on our knees, that we stand firm in the power of the Lord God Almighty. Firm until the end. In His unlimited power. Being on guard is being diligent in our watchfulness, identifying those things that tempt us, and battling sin in the Lord's power. If we are a Christian, a disciple of Christ, we have cast off that burden of self-importance in our denial of ourself. So inherent in answering Jesus' call to follow Him is the removal of our self-importance as a means for the enemy to manipulate us towards complacency. You can't manipulate something that is not there. Always remember, we don't stand guard and endure the hatred of the world without hope for relief. Jesus has promised His return. bringing His kingdom and all His glory. And if you are a disciple of Christ, you will endure to the end. You will endure to the end. You will be saved. We have Jesus' word on it. John 10:28, He said this, "No one will snatch them out of my hand." No one will snatch them out of my hand. He will sustain you to the end. And all the blessings of Christ are ours. And all the promises that come with eternal life will be fulfilled. And whoa, what a great and marvelous and wonderful God that we serve and that we worship. Bring it, world. The Lord has already won the war. Won it on the cross. The ultimate example of victory and gospel proclamation in the midst of persecution and suffering. So we must remain faithful to Christ. If you are a disciple of Christ, faithfully walking after Christ in obedience to Him, you will be persecuted in some way. Yet, even in this little... you're like, well, Monroeville's in the Bible Belt. Even in this little town here, it's not exempt. Even here. Be on guard. Remain faithful to Christ. Share the gospel in your life and in your words, even to those who hate you. And revel. Revel in the promise of your eternal reward, sealed by the blood of Christ, which was shed for you. And because persecution produces gospel proclamation, we must be bold for Christ.